You're listening to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, 1320 WILS, and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me on the phone now, Warren Renando, who is Jackson City Manager. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Just fine.
Very good. Wanted to talk to you about Jackson, like so many other cities and municipalities, is facing budget shortfalls and trying to come up with solutions for all of those benefit packages or something that comes up over and over again, and certainly they've been in the headlines lately. How is the city of Jackson doing with a budget deficit, and what is the position you're in at this point?
Well, we have a pretty significant budget deficit with declines in property values, revenue sharing being steeply declined, income tax. Virtually all revenue streams are down. We're projecting a deficit somewhere in about $4.2 million.
And where do benefit packages come into that picture? That's, we hear so often the phrase everything's on the table. That's the case in Jackson as well?
Well, we're about to find out. We had a presentation last night by our third-party insurance administrator saying that with relatively small changes in our insurance package, we could save about $1 million, which is about 25% of our deficit. But this is because we're not in a situation where we can open all contracts up or anything like this. We do have to get permission of our various unions to make the changes necessary to save that money.
What is the outlook of getting that kind of permission?
It's hard to say. At this point in time, we're talking to three of our unions, and one has not opened up the conversation yet.
So we're talking, in essence, in part about collective bargaining.
Yeah, well, this is very much a collective bargaining process. I mean, I can't make this change. I can't save that money without their permission. And essentially what this is a program that institutes a drug management plan, which requires you to get the generic instead of the brand name. It requires, in some cases, higher copays. We have people who have no copays, but it does not require that they, at this point in time, make major payments towards the plan unless they decide to opt into a better plan. So in that sense, we did a survey, and this is still one of the best plans out there.
Now, do you think that some of the unions understand that cities, municipalities are not in the financial shape that they were when times were good, and they may have to give a little bit? And do you think there's some compromise in sight?
I certainly would hope so, because, I mean, the truth of the matter is when we come back to the table, when these contracts do open up, we're certainly going to be asking for people to pay something towards their plan, like everybody in private industry does, and to make the same compromises that we just suggested anyway. This city, and I'm sure that virtually all other cities, simply can't afford to do things as they were.
Mm-hmm. And current employees are taking pay cuts as well, I would assume.
We've already gone through pay cuts. We've gone through layoffs, and staff reductions. We've already gone through the famous furlough days and things like this. But those things aren't sufficient. They aren't going to be sufficient to reach the kinds of savings that we're talking about. So, we've got a public safety vote up coming up on combining the police and fire department. And if that fails, I believe that we will be laying off about 25 policemen and firemen and a significant number of other employees. And that's assuming that we still get some of these major savings that we've talked about.
Now, the city of Jackson has already consolidated fire stations, haven't they?
Yeah, we've closed two of our stations already and consolidated that. And we've also consolidated our personnel function with the county and the top of our parks department with the county. So we've gone through some school, some administrative consolidation, and we've significantly reduced the total number of employees, particularly in non-bargaining groups at this point.
I found an article that had quoted you in it, and I want to make sure that this was accurate. But it was a good analogy, I thought, about comparing, a municipality to, GM, and how the shift is different in that, if you remember that quote.
Well, basically, we have a lot of legacy costs, just like GM did. We've got more retirees than employees. Some of these retiree benefits are significantly better than the people that are working here now get. We have to restructure ourselves, you know, just like GM did. Unfortunately, you know, the way this thing has worked out now, you know, we can't go bankrupt. But you can get under the new law a financial administrator who has you know, the powers to abrogate labor contracts and do all kinds of things.
Now, the and part of the quote was as well, you know, if GM can't make a car effectively, they go out of business.
Right.
You don't have that. You know, that's not a possibility. You have to go back
out of business. We still have to provide some level of service. As a matter of fact, the one of the ironies of this process is that the older the community is, the poorer the community is, the more it needs that police and fire protection, and the less it can afford it.
Well, that is the irony. What about just today here at the Capitol, the Senate passed the Emergency Financial Managers Reform Bill. It does have to go to the House, but...
Well, it was initiated at the House, and I think that it's going to pass the House Conference Committee. I expect that the governor will sign that, and I think that'll probably be law in, I'm going to say, a week to 10 days.
And your feeling about that, I mean, it may be a last resort, as we heard from some officials yesterday, but what is your feeling about the use of emergency financial managers when things are really heading down?
I'm very ambivalent about this. I mean, I tell you, I understand why we have to do some of these things, but I think that if we can work together on this process, we can come up with plans, make some sacrifices, make some cuts, and still have controls of our own destiny. If you go to a financial manager, you do not, neither the elected officials nor the unions have that control. And frankly, that I think more than anything else should spur us to cooperate together.
And you were also it mentioned in this article. You talked about collective bargaining laws needing to change. What kind of changes would help
in
the situation?
I'm not a person like in Wisconsin that you see who has a problem with collective bargaining in the process. I think all employees have a right to organize and to bargain for whatever aspects that they can get. However, I think that more of an emphasis has to be placed on the community's ability to pay. So many times in the collective bargaining process, we were compared with other communities' contracts. And those other communities may have signed better contracts, but they may have had a better ability to pay. So I think that the ability of the community to pay has to be a primary consideration in collective bargaining, more than it has been.
Where is the budget process now with Jackson?
We have three workshops set up towards the end of this month. I'm still in the collective bargaining process. I'm meeting with the unions. I'm expecting to pass written proposals. We've been doing interest-based bargaining, which is sort of like what's in your best interest, what's in my best interest, and more generic. But I think we'll be coming to a formal written exchanges here of ideas.
Well, very good. Warren, I appreciate your time this evening. There's a lot of cities in the same boat.
But the
more information we all have and passing of ideas around, the better off we'll all be. I appreciate your time this evening.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk about it.
Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Warren Renando, who is Jackson City Manager. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.